sometimes you think you can't love yourself because of the way your brain works.
But you realize loving yourself is exactly the way to make your brain work.
This is the Wayward Podcast. Hello, Brianna Buckmaster.
Hello, Kim Rhodes.
Hello, my blippy blips.
Welcome. Hi. Yes, you can speak. Yes, hello.
Yeah. Hi, it's the
blippy blips. We're so happy
that
you folks are here to just listen to Kim and I make sweet, sweet love to each other's brains.
Yes.
Speaking of brains.
Yes, we were so, sometimes I become aware of the fact that my brain is doing a thing that is not ideal to accomplish the task I have given my brain to do. So my brain brains in a way that becomes frustrating for me. And that gets very meta for me, and I feel very paralyzed. And so today, I would like to ask you, do you get mad at your brain? And if so, for doing what?
That's a great question.
And what do you do?
Now, when I first, so this was a question that was posed to us by somebody from our audience. And at first when I heard it, I was like, sure. Yeah, sure. That's a normal thing to have happen. But when I first heard it, I was like, sure. I, like today during panel and such at the convention, I was not able to, A, stop myself from talking. And then when I was talking, I was like saying words that weren't actual words. And I kept thinking, oh my God, like what is happening with my brain? That kind of stuff, like brain fog, just general like actual braining. But now when I think about it, I think about when my brain goes to a place that I don't want it to, or a place that I've learned is not a good place for it to, or that I feel like I should know better than for it to go there. So it's not so much about the actual getting it to do the thing it should do, like motor skills, but it's more about, you know, this is bad for you. It's more don't think these thoughts kind of braining.
That's interesting. So do you think that we have control over what we think?
I do.
Okay, tell me more about that.
Okay, I think the things that pop into our heads, I heard a quote once, and I actually think it was a RuPaul quote, where he said, you can visit sorrow, but you can't live there.
Okay.
You can visit depression, but you shouldn't set up camp. And I think the point was, and I say this to Valentina, like when she gets frustrated, I'm like, you can visit there. You can have those feelings. It's actually important for you to have those feelings, but don't make them a part of who you are. And so I love that quote because it was A, validating the experience of having those emotions, and B, saying you don't have to let that rule your life. And so now when I have emotions, I was having feelings this morning when I woke up and I talked to Jose on the phone and then I said them out loud and then immediately was like, oh, now they're kind of gone. They're kind of gone from my body. So I like the idea that you can go, oh, I'm having these feelings. And what I used to do, I think, is I used to think my way through them. Or not even. I would think that I could think my way through them and try to figure them out and going, why is this? And I would actually make more of a meal out of an emotion than it was, to which I was going, well, this has no longer become an emotion, it's become a thought. And I'm thinking this thought into it being a fact, when really, it was just an emotion. What do you think?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so there were a bunch of things there that I'm like, ooh, yes. So my people, I have many people, but in this case, my people who don't drink alcohol anymore have a phrase that says, I'm not responsible for my first thought, but I am responsible for my second thought. So I think there is a great deal, especially right now when so much of moralizing can come from thinking, like, you think this, that makes you a bad person. And so my first thought that comes in is actually my programming. It's programmed somehow. I don't even fucking know how my brain gets programmed. There's a lot of theories, and I am a scientist, but not a brain surgery scientist.
What's a brain scientist called?
A neurosurgeon.
Neuroscientist.
You know what? I'm so much not a brain scientist that I don't even know what they're called.
I am a brain scientist.
I am not a brain scientist. But I have to catch myself because my first thought is quite often wrong. And that is one of the ways that my brain frustrates me, or used to really frustrate me, is that I would identify with my first thought. And my first thought is usually fear and conditioning. And so then I'd be like, oh, I'm a horrible person because I had this thought in my head. And it's like, oh no, that's not a thought. Okay, wait, go ahead. Yes, Brianna?
Sorry, I know I struggle because I don't want to interrupt you, but I also, I don't want to forget this thing before we move on from this tangent. Do you think that your first thought is actually your body giving you a signal? And therefore, as we talked about with intuition, sometimes I go, I should be thinking my first thought is right because it's my intuition. Whereas in when my brain kicks in, then it becomes your programming.
No. Huh. No, absolutely not. My first thought is, why is that person scary? My first thought is, why am I wrong? My first thought is, fuck you, you are this. My first thoughts are often based in old, patriarchal, white, capitalist tendencies. And I have to catch them and be like, am I racist? Let's look at that. Well, you have racist programming because that's how it worked and people didn't know. So does that mean you're racist? You have racist programming. Why are you identifying with this? Change your thought. Could I do better right now? Could I be more equal right now? Can I reevaluate my reaction right now? Am I making presumptions based on a person's race right now? Reevaluate that, as opposed to my first thought being like, oh my God, that was bad and you're a bad person, or I need to prove it right. Does that make sense? The other thing you were saying that I want to talk about is I saw you kind of moving through the difference between thinking and feeling. And the way my brain works, yes, agrees with yours. My brain actually, like my feelings generally start before my brain attaches to them. And that is often where I get frustrated with my brain because my body experiences something and then my brain is like, oh, it's because of this. And sometimes it's just like, no, I just live in a state of
so
anxiety.
All I was going to say is that when you're like, I see you thinking about, not thinking, I see you talking about your experience with feeling and thinking, my comment was that I sometimes forget that they are separate.
Yeah.
And I think that is the thing that I need to constantly remind myself is if I am feeling alone, it doesn't mean that there are factual events to confirm that reality. But my brain will then search for them so that my feeling can be righteous. Does that make sense?
Totally.
And that's the thing that I clock myself and go, no, allow the feeling to happen and not have any facts behind it.
Yeah. I was having a conversation with someone that we both know and love back in the green room earlier today. And I was like, look, your feelings and conflicting facts can both be true. And that's I get frustrated when my brain is like, no, I'm going to create facts so that I can have this feeling, so that my feeling is valid. And I have to be like, hold on a second, little brain. Hold on. We're going to just acknowledge that if I'm feeling it, I am right to be feeling it. And my brain's like, no, it's uncomfortable. You're wrong.
Change so you will try to talk yourself out of a feeling.
I often try to do that,
oh,
yes.
I mean, I probably do too when I think about it. But what I more am apt to do is feel something and go, why am I feeling this? And then think about the reasons I'm feeling it. And then use those thoughts to confirm the feeling. And then I inevitably end up feeling way fucking worse. Way worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I do that too.
That's why I'm saying I try not to do that. I try not to brain in that way. I try to actually shut my brain off a little bit or use the new tools I have for my brain and go, actually, Brianna, you can just feel that feeling and not have to confirm
yes.
a meaning behind it.
Yes.
Because inevitably, like, if you're feeling alone, or you're feeling left out, you can just feel that feeling and going, yeah, because that one time this, and yeah, that confirms that feeling. And then also this could happen, that confirms that feeling. And then you feel like shit over kind of just nothing. You've just made up all of this, a novella
I did it to
in
myself.
Your brain. Yeah.
Yeah, that's we work with that on Tabby. I'm like, now you're doing this to yourself. So
how much shit? We do so much shit to ourselves. Isn't it crazy when you really dissect it like this? Where you're like, this, especially if you've wound yourself up, you've decided that your feelings are facts, you've wound yourself up, and then somebody will send you a text message or something that will completely deny everything you've then just told yourself. You're like, oh. That was dumb.
Yeah, that was
what a waste of fucking time.
I say all the time, I'm like, how many showers have I wasted having fights?
Oh, I do that all
with
the
people
time.
Who are never, like, the fact that I'm in the shower, I'm naked, I'm covered in water.
I could do
water.
So many other fun things in the shower right now.
I'm not even talking about nasty things. I'm like, I'm naked, I'm covered in water. Two of my favorite things, and I'm not talking any sexy time shit. I just like to be naked. I don't like clothes. Given my druthers, I put on clothes last. Even in a hotel room, I don't care. I know it's gross. So like, there's warm water. I live someplace with running water. How fucking cool is that? And it's warm, and probably something smells nice someplace, and I'm touching myself, not in a sexy way. I'm just getting down with me. And then I'm like,
that fucker. If I could do that
if I see him and he says this, then I'm gonna ignore it at first. I'm gonna ignore it, and then I know what else he's gonna say. He's gonna say, why are you ignoring me? And I'm gonna say, I'm not ignoring you. And is this something wrong? And I'm like, I don't know is it wrong to da 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 da? Because I feel like it's wrong, but you clearly have a different idea of what is wrong. And then he's gonna say, why are you gonna be so overdramatic? And I'm gonna say, why do you have to invalidate? And then like, but then the water's run cold. And there's still soap in my hair.
What a waste. I do that all the time, constantly. Or I'll replay old arguments and go, I should have said this. And then they would have nothing to say back. But occasionally, I'll say parts of those arguments out loud, and Jose will be like, who are you talking to? Like a right crazy person.
Oh, my God. Okay, so here, what we're talking about, they don't exist. Ignore them.
Okay.
No, you're with us.
I'm
with
in
us.
A blanket.
We're having a...
You've
like
got
right
one
right behind
you.
Behind your
yes. Oh, thank goodness.
Thank you.
Oh, it's freezing here.
Nate's
oh, it's so
here.
Chilly.
We've just had Nate Torrance join the podcast.
Yes.
So you've so just
Nate's
finished signing autographs.
I did.
Take it. Do you want a mint?
Yes, I do. And I'm going to catch it right-handed. I'm a lefty.
Oh,
multi-dexterous.
Okay. Dexterous?
So our topic today is, first of all, apparently burping. But aside from that, we're talking about when our brains work in ways mm-hmm. that we don't like. What does my brain do to me that I don't like, and what do we do with it? Do we ever get frustrated with how our brain works? And we were talking about, right now, the current topic of conversation is wasting a perfectly good shower, having a fight with someone you're never gonna talk to again. You're never gonna have the occasion to fight with them again. But why does my brain insist on digging its teeth into shit that is imaginary? Especially when it results in a feeling that is uncomfortable. So welcome to our podcast.
That's heavy lifting over here.
Yeah, that's why we thought you'd have fun with us.
So what, were you done with your?
Well, no, yeah, we were just yammering on. So I basically was talking about how we took the question. So the question was a suggestion from the audience, and I initially was like thinking about how my brain sometimes won't allow me to do proper motor skills, like saying the right words at the right time. And then I was like, but then it also does things like when I have feelings, my brain will try to find reasons to confirm that feeling as a fact. Hmm. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Where you're like, oh, I feel alone today. I feel lonely today. And my brain will, and then I'll search my brain, the Rolodex of my brain, going, yeah, that's because that person said that about you. They don't like you. And that person says they like you, but they actually probably don't because they don't know about this thing yet. And they're going to find out. And my brain will just like spiral, essentially, to be able to turn that feeling into a fact. And I want to brain properly where I will allow just feelings to be feelings and thoughts to be thoughts.
Yeah. Don't you feel like, though, that it's also from a creative place, like that we're our own worst enemies when we have too much time on our hands? I feel like specifically as an actor, because we're either crazy busy or not busy at all, I feel like not just in my confidence as like a human being, but like in general, I am a completely different person when I'm working than when I'm not working. And I feel like it's my kids and my wife, they actually know it the most. Not in like a negative way, but just in a how I even function in, I'm so much more happy and so much more extroverted when I know work's coming rather than when I'm not. And
when you have work coming.
And I feel like as I've gotten older, I've been able to not allow myself, like, to be like, hey, catch that. Don't be so defined by what you're doing.
So how does your brain work in a way that frustrates you sometimes?
I feel like as I've been getting older, I'm amazed at being a little more, like, the forgetfulness aspect. Or just the idea of I'm just not as sharp as what I my whole life's been about being an improviser, mm-hmm. improv comedy, and I can't stand that I'm not as quick as I, not that I used to be, but I definitely feel a lag, or you know, the pulse of like whatever's current and whatever's super funny. Like I think teenagers, I have two teenagers and kids. There, I have great kids, but you also just know you're not as cool as what you once were. You know, constantly being confronted with that, and as an entertainer, trying not to be needy in that. And then I'm still like a dad, you know, in the midst of all of it. And so I think that's one way that I don't know, though, that if that's more something that isn't my brain as much as it is circumstance, you know. Brain would just be that I can't stand that I forget things more. Like
drives you crazy.
Yeah, it drives me nuts. Names, things like that where I'm like, oh, man. Or words like not being able to figure out. I don't know. I'm new to that. Maybe post-COVID. I don't know.
Maybe. Oh, my God. Yes, maybe.
Mine, I don't know if you know this, but I am diagnosed both ADHD and autistic.
Okay.
And I have, the diagnosis actually made me feel much safer and much more free because I quit trying to conform to a set of standards that somebody was like, honey, those standards don't apply to you.
Oh.
So you don't have to do that. But one of the things my brain does do that I believe is disability, but I think there's a lot of other people that can still relate to this, is called hyperfocus. And I will lose, Brianna saw me go through it last night, where I was exhausted, I'd had so many travel mishaps, and all I wanted was one particular thing that you should be able to find at a convenience store. And I got to the hotel, and Brianna was like, there's a CVS up the street, it closes in 10 minutes. And I felt the click. And it was not up the street, it was half a mile away. But I didn't have time to check in, so I carried my computer bag and all of my clothes, and I had been traveling for 14 straight hours, and I ran to the CVS. I ran and screamed at homeless people, do I look like I have spare change? Oh, wow. Oh, I'm crazy right now. Oh, I'm crazy. Oh, I'm crazy. I'm crazy because I need this thing. And Brianna was like, can't you just have it Uber? No, because I got to the CVS and they didn't have the thing. They're like, but there's a 7-Eleven down further. I'm going to the, and I texted Brianna and I said, if you don't hear from me in a half an hour, call the police. Because I get hyper-focused and reality loses its meaning. You could point a gun at me and I'd be like, you're holding that wrong. And I would keep going towards
moment. So in this moment, it was the hyper focus was on getting the item.
Yes, getting this item. Wow. That the idea of achieving, think of it as like a chocolate, like a perfect candy bar.
Yeah.
And that idea had sustained me all day.
Yeah.
And then I could not find it because there.
Did you ever find it?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
How many stores?
And I got 7-Eleven had it.
Okay.
But I was soaking wet and I was sweating and it is at the same time both terrifying because somewhere in my brain there is a little voice that's like, bitch, you're gonna die. What are you doing? Idiot? The fuck? And everything else feels like I could create fire from my hands. it is frustrating because it's dangerous. It's really the only thing I think I do that is, retrospect.
How exhilarating was it for you when you received said item?
Oh, like, not, I mean, fine.
What?
Yeah, fine.
Because that's not what it's about. At that point, it's about.
No, by that time, it's like, I'm going to walk the street. Have you ever seen me when I'm like, I don't fucking care if it's an alley and there's people that are
shooting glass. Like, remember? I eat glass.
Yes.
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 That was
Nicaragua.
From years ago. Yeah. She was like, that's Kim. Don't fuck with me. I eat glass.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. Usually she's a fuzzy little baby.
Usually because I'm regulated.
She's a silly little goose.
So that is something.
No, I.
My brain definitely does a thing. Where
I was just wondering because that idea of if it was goal oriented, that idea of having extreme highs then, because that's the bummer.
That's what typical people can relate to, is wanting something so badly that it makes it get.
But it does
for
not
me,
have,
it was
yeah.
Like, the
that
thing
would
was
be
still
kind
the
of
thing.
Torturous, yeah.
It was fine. But my brain just went, boop, boop.
Also, I do think that in the state that you were in, the thing is the thing, and it was necessary, but it became a focus for you to develop some path of sanity while you were having this experience. But also, I imagine, or at least what I do, so I wonder if this is your experience, I then create stories about how the world is against me on days like this that you've had or that I've had, where it's just like everything that could possibly go wrong has gone wrong. So it's either I have two modes, which is like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Usually when travel shit hits me that are really insane, that I'm like that, or it's like, of course, because why not?
Yeah.
You know. So how do you feel like your brain works in those scenarios?
Neurotypical. Like up to that point, I remember texting you and going, I just wish I could cry so I would feel better about this. It snaps into like, I feel it's like, I feel like I would if I were invisible. Like I feel like acutely aware that the world's rules don't apply to me anymore. I went up to, I may cut this from the podcast, but like when this was starting and I arrived and I was like, my luggage has not arrived. I don't know where my luggage. And so I went up to the airport, had a little table where some religious people were. It was like, ask me about the Bible. And I went up and I went, okay, make me believe. Where's the American baggage room? And they went, we don't know. And I, this loudly went, that's it, I'm an atheist again. And I left. That's not socially appropriate.
I want to go right now.
It's
and
not
talk
solution
to that family.
Oriented, Kim.
They were. I did come back, and I was like, "I'm sorry, that was very aggressive. Do you need some water or something? I will buy you some water." And they were like, "No, did you find the luggage?" I was like, "I did, and I'm glad I did. In case you need to know, it's right over there. In case anyone crazy ever asks you again, Jesus may be riding on it." I didn't say that last part to them, which that part
it.
I did not say.
You thought
but
it.
Yeah, no, I just become acutely aware that the world's social constructs are imaginary.
So you actually feel your brain like do a like a switch.
Yeah.
Like a switch goes off.
And I think from what I've talked to with other neurodivergent people, that's truly unmasking. Like my unmasking at this point is still just like, am I going to say the thing I'm thinking or am I going to keep it inside? But like truly just being like, there is like that thing in the Indiana Jones movie where you're just like, meow, oh, this is totally easy. And you just walk over the path. And everybody else is like, falling off into cliff.
Now, Nate, we have talked about how, you know, all three of us have talked about how our brain physically goes into a different state. But I'm curious as to, is there something that you wish your brain would do or not do that it turns that... more equates to your emotions or feelings. Hmm. Is there old programming that you wish that you had better tools to adjust with?
You know, this is what's funny. I feel like, I don't know if it is because like I've been married for 25 years.
Round of applause.
This
That's
January.
Impressive. That is impressive.
No, and I think if someone was going to ask me why or how that happened, it's because we got married, we got married pretty young, and that we honestly grew up together more than we did. We're high school sweethearts, have older kids. But I feel like I've changed so much. And so it isn't so much about...
How so?
I think in my communication, how I communicate, how...
In relationship.
Yes, in Got relationship. It. But then that also has just been in my, like, personal life. Like, I'm like, I think I learned a couple skill sets that I had to learn to not have a successful marriage. It's not perfect, but...
Show up as a partner.
I learned like, communication, how to watch my tone. And I would have had all of those bad habits, and I learned to change them early, and then I was able to take that approach in life, I think, and just continue to try to grow. Like, to continue to try, and again, I am not perfect. I'm just saying that...
Perfection's overrated.
Yeah, no, exactly. That it's the idea of knowing how to better myself by change. Like, I'm not afraid to change. I'm just not stubborn. I don't know if it's because I'm a youngest. I don't know that if it's because of our job, like, that you have to be so flexible and so malleable to, like, I'm just trying to give a director what they want, and I've been doing this since I was 20 years old, and now I'm 45 still doing it, and that there's a success that I feel when someone says, do it exactly opposite than that, and I do it. And it's like, that's ingrained into me. That anyway, when I think of like what my brain doesn't do, I think I've learned to pivot so much that it actually has helped me become like a more well-rounded person. Again, not like I don't have my highs and lows, but I'm able to label them, I think, better as I've gotten older.
Well, it sounds like you're able to be the observer.
Yeah.
So approach it from a more detached area, because another phrase that I enjoy is, would you rather be right? Or would you rather be happy? And I'm like, being right makes me happy.
Yeah. That's funny.
And once I realized that was the point of the fucking phrase, it's like, it doesn't though, bitch. It doesn't. I was like, if my goal is to be right, I am less likely to be teachable. I am less likely to allow my brain the process. Like you said, I'm not perfect. And I strongly believe everyone's perfect. And changing. Like, you are perfect. The sky is always perfect. The sky is never the same. We're expanding. We're growing. I'm taking what I know about me now and using it to make me more me.
Yeah.
Not the same.
No, it's something, and I don't know if it also was because, again, having like siblings that have different personalities that, weirdly enough, I would come from a family that would have high emotion, but I do think like anger would be an actual retaliation. And I remember being like really proud of, it was my daughter. My daughter just took a different approach to discipline because she's wonderfully just, her middle name's Pepper, Molly Pepper. And she's,
ooh,
yeah,
that's a great
and
name.
She lives up to the name. Her mom's got some spunk and she does. And I had to learn, my son was just always, you could say, don't do that. And I could say that as his dad and his mom could say it and he would listen to it. My daughter had a different reaction. And I learned there was something about the idea of not winning the fight, but winning the fight against me to not get riled up. I was so proud of that moment. And it took my wife consistently being like, you can't win this by being more angry than her.
Yeah, she will always come over the top.
It's like when you can discuss this and you can actually go numb to your emotion and not win the battle of the fight, but win the battle of not being, I'm not going to get aroused. I'm not going to get like angered by this. And that kind of changed. Like it was 14 years ago. And that like kind of changed my outlook on like life in general, like to be like, oh, I'm really proud to not get overwhelmed by things, you know, even though I still do. There is something that I'm like, wow, good job on trying to not get angry about that.
Goes back to what I think we were talking about earlier before you showed up, which is my first thought. I'm going to call it a thought. It's not even really a thought. It's a reaction. So that isn't on me necessarily. It's what I do with it then. It's recognizing, clocking it, and being able to go, when I am frustrated with my brain, where is the solution in this? As opposed to, now I'm doing that fucking stupid fucking shit. Stupid, 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 ass, stupid. It's like, well, now you are doing it to yourself. Yeah. You know, as opposed to, like, yeah, I'm frustrated with my brain right now. I'm frustrated with my thoughts right now. Yeah. I'm frustrated with the reality that is right now. Cool, that's a great awareness to have, but what is the action that I still have the capability to take?
Yeah.
Which is chill the fuck out, in your case.
And to love yourself. Like, I mean,
that's
that
it.
Idea.
That's what I was going to say.
I think it's so like, ugh. And maybe. I remember younger, like, being so angry with myself at certain things or, like being like, oh, and again, not that everything's about having kids or whatever, but you do, like, you're like, wow, how can I expect to have anything good to say to someone if I can't say it to myself?
So true.
Like, if I can't give myself a pep talk.
So that's what I was
going to
say is maybe the answer is allowing ourselves to be frustrated with our brains and not attaching meaning to the frustration and just going, okay, I'm frustrated with my brain right now. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Doesn't mean I'm dumb. And allow yourself to move through that, love yourself through that, and then let the next feeling follow through.
I'm so mad at you right now, Brianna Buckmaster.
Why?
Because you clearly are a brain scientist.
I am.
And you didn't.
A brain scientist.
She has a certificate in her purse.
I am a neuro brain scientist.
I saw it. I saw it in the green room.
What is the word for a brain scientist?
Brain scientist.
You
nailed it.
Thank you, Nate Torrance.
No, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, my God.
She has a
brain scientist.
She has a BA and BS.
I want to thank Nate Torrance for joining us for this podcast episode.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad I got to
He's
be
been
here.
Working all day, still
Good,
joined
that was
us.
Perfect. Thank you, my little blippy blippies.
I love you, Kim Rhodes.
I love you, Brianna Buckmaster.